بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. Tonight, on this night of Arafah, the day of Arafah, the night of the ninth of the month of Dhul Hijjah, we will focus upon a subject which is much needed for everyone, and it is a scholarly discussed subject by one of the great scholars of our times. May Allah's mercy be upon him. And he is a Shaykh Abdul Rahman bin Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah. And this is a small treatise which he wrote, and it is in Arabic, Al-Wasa'il al-Mufida lil-Hayat al-Sa'ida, the useful ways of leading a happy life. Who is this scholar of Islam, rahimahullah ta'ala? The author of this brief and important treatise is the eminent scholar Al-Shaykh Abdul Rahman bin Nasir, son of Abdullah Al-Sa'di, who was born on the 12th of Muharram, the year 1307 after Hijrah, in the town of Unayza, in the province of Qasim, in the kingdom of Saudi Arabia. He lost both his parents when he was a child, and his mother died when he was 4 years old, and his father when he was 7 years old. He started his studies by memorizing the Quran, which he finished around the age of 12. He then engaged himself in seeking different branches of knowledge from the scholars of his city and those who came to it as visitors. He was very diligent and hardworking in seeking knowledge, and by the age of 23 he was already teaching at the same time as he was studying. Among his famous teachers were Sheikh Ibrahim bin Hamad bin Jasir, Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Karim al-Shibl, and Sheikh Muhammad Amin al-Shanqiti, the famous scholar of Tafsir, and Sheikh Salih bin Uthman, the judge of Unayza, from whom he studied the fields of principles of fiqh and tawheed, tafsir and Arabic language, and he stayed with him till he died. The Shaykh was very knowledgeable in the fields of fiqh and its principles, and in tawheed and its branches. He was widely read in the various works of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahumullah. He was also well versed in the field of commentary of the Quran, and he wrote a tafsir of the Quran in 8 volumes, which he later summarized in a single volume. And this is one of the excellent tafsirs, contemporary tafsirs in our times. Among his other works are several books on fiqh, commentaries on hadith, and small treatises on fundamental rules regarding different fields of knowledge, a compendium of his legal opinions, fatawa, and a collection of his sermons in 3 volumes. He was quite famous for his noble manners, very humble to both elderly and young. He was indifferent to this world and its glory, not caring for rank, power, or glory. He died on the night of Thursday, the 23rd of Jamada al-Thaniyah, the year 1376 after Hijrah in his hometown of Unayza. May Allah have mercy on him and give him and give us the benefit of his works and his knowledge. In his introduction to the book, he said, Rahimahullah, "A praise belongs to Allah, to whom all praise is due. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is Allah's slave and messenger. May the salah and salam of Allah be upon him, his family, and his companions. There is no doubt that the bliss of the heart, its tranquility and happiness, and the absence of grief and worry from it is the goal of every individual. It is the means by which a happy, a blissful and excellent life is achieved. There are means to achieve this, some of which are religious, some are natural, and some are physical. These means are never gathered together except to the believers. These means are never gathered together except to the believers. The non-believers, on the other hand, despite the fact that the earnest endeavors of their philosophers is to lead them to these means, even if they achieve them in certain aspects, they miss the way to them in several other aspects that are more beneficial, more permanent, and better in yielding results. I will mention in this treatise of mine the ways and means to achieve this lofty goal, and that is the guest of every individual. Some people are successful in following these ways and therefore live a good and pure life and enjoy their life. Some woefully fail in following any of them and they live a wretched and miserable life. Others lie between these two extremes. By the level of their following these means, by that level do they live a good life. And it is Allah that guides to all that is good and wards off all that is evil, and it is help, it is His help we seek in this." Chapter 1. The greatest and fundamental means of achieving a good life is Iman, is certain faith and good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states this in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 97. قال الله تعالى من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون. Whoever works righteousness, man or woman, and is a true believer, verily to him will we give a life that is good and pure, and we will give or we will bestow on such their reward according to the best of their actions, or according to the best of what they used to do. And this is paradise and the hereafter. So Allah the Most High informs and promises whoever joins true belief with good and righteous deeds that He will give him a good and pure life in this world and a good reward in this world and in the hereafter. The reason behind this is very clear. This is because true believers in Allah who have a sound belief that gives rise to righteous deeds and mends the heart and corrects human behavior and makes good both this world and the hereafter, such a people have the basic elements that guide them in dealing with situations of happiness and joy and situations of anxiety, sorrow and grief. They gratefully accept situations of happiness and joy and are thankful and use them in what is beneficial. When they use them in this manner, they experience additional joy and they desire the blessings of these things and hope they remain with them and also yearn for the good reward of those who are thankful to Allah. This feeling and experience brings with it so much good and blessings far greater than the joy that is the primary cause of it. On the other hand, in harmful and unpleasant situations, situations of grief and sorrow, they deal with them by resisting what is resistible and lightening what could be lightened, and they preserve or persevere with a beautiful contentment over what they have no power to resist. By this, they achieve the benefits of earnest struggle and gather experience and inner strength, and earn the reward of patience and perseverance, the greatest or the greatness of which belittles in comparison the distasteful things that befell them. As a result, they end up having, in place of the unpleasant things, joy and good hope and a sincere desire in the favors of Allah and His reward. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam beautifully expressed this situation in the Sahih Hadith, where he said in the Hadith reported by Muslim, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلُّهُ خَيْرٌ إِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ صَبَاءَ شَكَرٌ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ ضَرَّاءَ صَبَرٌ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. The affair of the believer is really wonderful. All his affairs are good. When he is touched by ease and affluence, he is thankful, and that is good for him. And when he is touched by suffering, he is patient, and that is good for him. And this is only for the believer. The Prophet ﷺ informs us in this hadith that the good of the believer and his gains and the excellent benefits of his deeds are multiplied several fold in all the things that befall him, be they pleasant or unpleasant. This is why you see two people afflicted by the same ups and downs of life situations, and they differ so widely in the way they encounter them, in accordance with the level of their iman, their faith, and righteous deeds. The one with iman and righteous deeds encounters both good and bad situations with what we mentioned of the thankfulness in good situations and patience in bad ones, plus the other things that go along with them. As a result of this, he experiences a joy and happiness, and grief and sorrow leave him, and he becomes free from misery, anxiety, and constriction of the heart, and he lives a good and happy life in this world. The other one, on the other hand, encounters joyful and agreeable situations with insolence, arrogance, and rebellion. As a result of this, his behavior deviates, and he becomes just like an animal, encountering his joy with utter greed, and a burning anxiety and restlessness. And despite that, his heart is still not at rest. He is restless for several reasons. He is restless out of fear that the good things will vanish, and out of the feeling of anxiety for the struggle to retain them. He is restless out of the burning urge and desire to acquire more, because the human self, by its nature, knows no limits to what it desires, and he may acquire them and he may not. Even if he acquires them, the restlessness still persists, because the circle will repeat itself on him viciously. And when he is afflicted with unpleasant things, he is worried, full of despair, fearful and sorrowful. Only Allah knows the degree of the wretchedness of the life he is going through, and the mental and psychological sickness associated with it, and the extent of fear that would ultimately lead to more horrible and heinous results. This is because he neither has any hope of getting a reward, nor any patience that will console him and lighten his pains. All this is known from human experience. All this is known from human experience. there are many examples in life which, if you reflect upon even one of them and observe through it human experiences, you will definitely see the wide difference between the true believer who is acting in accordance with his belief and the person who is not like him. This is because the religion of the truth strongly urges commitment, or urges rather contentment, with Allah's provision and with whatever He gives His slaves out of His favor and vast generosity. If the believer is afflicted with illness or poverty or similar tribulations that no individual is free from, he is happy and contented because of his certain belief. Contentment and satisfaction with what Allah has decreed for him, his heart does not guess for what has not been destined to him. He looks at people that are less fortunate than him, and he does not look at those who are above him in worldly riches. By this, he might even be happier and more delighted. By this, he might even be happier and more delighted and peaceful than the one who has all his worldly needs met, but has not been gifted with contentment. The opposite is the case of the one who does not act in accordance with iman, with belief. When he is afflicted with poverty or loses some of his worldly needs, you find him in utter despair and wretchedness. Another example is when fear and disturbing events befall a person. You find the one with sound belief having a firm heart, and he is calm and firmly in control of the situation by making the best use of his faculties of thought, speech and action, as though he has already prepared himself for the event. This type of reaction puts him at ease and strengthens his heart. The reaction of the one without iman, without faith, on the other hand, is the direct opposite of this. When he encounters fearful situations, his heart trembles and his nerves become tense and his intellect loses its focus. There is nothing inside him except alarm and fear. The outward terror is increased by his inward restlessness, the degree of which is beyond expression. This type of people among mankind, if they don't acquire some of the natural means at the disposal of every human being for dealing with troubles through life experiences, their energy becomes completely sapped and they suffer a nervous breakdown. This is because they lack the iman, the faith that encourages patience, especially in situations of difficulty and anxiety. It is true that both the good and the bad, and the believer and the one who rejects faith, both share the common human quality of acquired courage as well as the innate ability to deal with dreadful situations and lighten their oppressive effects on the self. But the believer, because of his strong belief, patience and reliance and trust in Allah, and his desire to be rewarded by Allah, excels in having qualities that make him more courageous and soothe more effectively the pangs of terror and the pains of calamity on him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa, in chapter 4, verse 104, إِن تَكُونُوا تَأْلَمُونَ فَإِنَّهُمْ يَأْلَمُونَ كَمَا تَأْلَمُونَ وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. If you are suffering hardships, they too are suffering similar hardships, but you hope from Allah that which they hope not. But you have hope from Allah that for which they hope not. In addition to that, the believers receive from Allah His special help, sukur, and assistance that will drive away the dread and terror that befell them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-Anfal, chapter 8, verse 46, وَاصْبِرُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ, and be patient. Surely Allah is with those who are patient. Secondly, among the means of eliminating worry, grief and anxiety is goodness to creation. Is goodness to creation by words, by deeds and by all types of good acts. All of these are good and excellent in the sight of Allah, and by them Allah removes worries and anxieties from both the good and the bad, each in accordance with his level of being good to creation. Except that the portion of the believer is more complete and perfect, and he also excels by the fact that his goodness is born out of sincerity to Allah and seeking his reward. As a result, Allah makes the act of doing good and granting it easy for him because of his hope in the goodness with Allah. And he removes from him unpleasant things because of his sincerity and his seeking the reward of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa in 4:114, لا خير في كثير من نجواهم إلا من أمر بصدقة أو معروف أو إصلاح بين الناس ومن يفعل ذلك ابتغاء مرضات الله فسوف نؤتيه أجرا عظيما. There is no good in most of their secret conferences except in him who exhorts to a deed of charity in Allah's cause, or goodness, or conciliation between people. Whoever does that seeking the pleasure of Allah, we shall give him a great reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us that these things are all acts of goodness, whoever does them. And acts of goodness bring with them good and remove evil. But the true believer who seeks the reward and pleasure of Allah, for him Allah gives an immense reward. Part of that immense reward is the removal of grief, sorrow and anguish. Chapter 2. Among the means of warding off anxieties arising out of nervousness and the preoccupation of the heart with some sorrowful things is occupying oneself with one activity or another, or with some useful knowledge. This is because doing that will distract the heart away from being immersed in its anxieties. It might even make him forget the things that caused him grief and sorrow, and he may even experience some happiness and become cheerful. This is also something that is common between both the believer and the non-believer. But the believer is different, because when he occupies himself with the knowledge that he is seeking or giving, or with good action he is doing, whether it be an act of worship or a worldly act in which he has a good intention of doing it to seek strength in worshipping Allah, when he does that, he does it out of his belief in Allah, sincerity and seeking the pleasure of Allah. And that in itself has the additional effect of warding off grief, worries and anxiety. We have seen many people afflicted with sorrows and permanent anxieties to the extent of making them very ill. Their only cure was to make them forget the cause of their sorrow and misery and be preoccupied with their normal activities. The activity to be preoccupied with should be something pleasing to the self and one that it yearns for. This makes it more effective in achieving the desired goal, and all knowledge is with Allah. Fourthly, among the things that ward off worry and anxiety is to concentrate one's attention and concern oneself with the affairs of the present, and to stop being anxious about the future or grieving over the past. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sought refuge in Allah from anxiety and grief. Grief is usually over past events that you can neither bring back nor rectify. anxiety is usually fear and concern over what will come in the future. Therefore, a person should be the, quote, son of the moment, end of quote, concentrating his energy and attention in the betterment of his existing events and his present moments. Concentrating attention over the affairs of the moment is the necessary cause of their accomplishment, and it is what gets rid of grief and anxiety from the heart. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks something from Allah, or guides his ummah to ask a specific thing from Allah, he is exhorting them that together with seeking help from Allah and having hope in his favor, at the same time they have to work hard and earnestly for the accomplishment of what they asked, or the removal of what they asked to be removed from them. Therefore, making dua, asking something from Allah, should go side by side with action. So the slave strives for what will benefit him in his religion and in his worldly life, and he asks his Lord to make him accomplish his need, and he seeks his help in that. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, which is reported by Imam Muslim, احرص على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله ولا تعجز وإذا أصابك شيء فلا تقل لو أني فعلت كذا كان كذا وكذا ولكن قل قدر الله وما شاء فعل فإن لو تفتح عمل الشيطان. Strive, the Prophet ﷺ said, strive for what will benefit you and seek the help of Allah, and don't be incapacitated. And if something afflicts you, don't say, if I had done such and such would have happened, but say, this is the decree of Allah, He does what He wills, this is because if, article if, opens the act of shaitan, of the devil. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exhorts us to join between two things. The first is to strive for useful things in all situations and seek the help of Allah, and not to yield and surrender ourselves to incapacity, because that is harmful negligence. The second is to surrender to Allah over past events that have passed, and witness in them the decree of Allah and His predestination, His preordainment, pre-decree. We see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has delineated two categories of affairs. The first category is affairs that the slave has the ability to accomplish totally or partially, or those he can avoid completely, or at least lighten their burden. For this category, the slave should exert his utmost and seek the help of Allah. The second category is those affairs over which the slave has no power. For this, the slave should calm himself and accept what came to him and surrender to Allah. There is no doubt that this is a principle complying with which is a definite means of achieving happiness and keeping worry and grief at bay. Chapter 3. 5. Among the greatest means to achieve the expansion of the heart and its tranquility and satisfaction is abundant dhikr, remembrance of Allah. Remembrance of Allah has a wonderful effect of bringing expansion and tranquility to the heart and removing worry and grief. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Ar-Ra'd, chapter 13, verse 28, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Without doubt, in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find satisfaction. This is because of the special effect that the remembrance of Allah has over the hearts, and the fact that the slave, when remembering Allah, has the hope of receiving a good reward and the recompense from Him. 6. Among these things also is proclaiming and mentioning the favors and blessings of Allah on oneself, both the outwardly manifest and the hidden. There is no doubt that recognition of Allah's favors and blessings and speaking about them is a means by which Allah removes the grief and worry from the heart and makes a person thankful to Allah. The station of thankfulness is in itself a station of sublimity and excellence. Whatever the amount of poverty or illness or other forms of tribulations that engulf him, when he compares the limitless and uncountable favors of Allah on him and the unpleasant things that befell him, he sees how extremely small they are in comparison with the blessings of Allah on him. In fact, trials and tribulations are such that when the slave is afflicted with them and he does what is required of him of patience, acceptance and surrender, their oppressive burden becomes light and their pain becomes mild. In addition to that, the hope that the slave has in the reward of Allah and his belief in the fact that he is worshipping Allah by his being patient and accepting what Allah has tried him with, these things sweeten the bitterness of the affliction. So the sweetness of the reward causes him to forget the bitterness of the patience. 7. Among the most useful things in this respect also is working with the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, alayhi salatu wasalam. In an affirmed hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Unzuru ila ma huwa asfala minkum ولا تنظروا إلى من هو فوقكم فإنه أجدر أن لا تزدروا نعمة الله عليكم." In the hadith reported by Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Look at those that are below you in worldly positions, and don't look at those that are above you in worldly positions. That is more befitting for you not to hold the favors and blessings of Allah on you with contempt. If the slave were to put his noble teaching in front of his eyes, he would realize how far he has been exalted and favored over many people in well-being and exemption from tribulations, in richness and what comes with it. And this is true no matter what his condition is. If he does this, his anxiety will vanish, as well as his grief and worry, and his delight and joy with the favors and blessings of Allah, by which he has been placed above many who are lower than him, will increase." So far we have mentioned 7 of these means or useful ways of leading a happy life. Inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow we will complete the remaining 3 chapters on the same topic. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive and have mercy upon the Shaykh rahimahullah, and to make this a beneficial teaching and reminder for all of us. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.